doing that, if you would also take out your...
Come pretty here.
Your outline. And as you're holding your Bible, what is the Bible? Well, it's the Word of God, isn't it? But just saying that is saying so much more, isn't it? In fact, it's God's divine revelation to you and I. The thing that we find in the Word of God, we can find nowhere else. Because they are divinely revealed to us through His Son and through the works of the prophets and those whom God used to write His Word. It's also a story about God's work of redemption. Right before the foundation of the world. It's also God's Word with authority and power. It's also God's Word that is true. And always will be true. It doesn't change with culture. It doesn't change with time. It doesn't change with your life or my life or what we're going through. It's always the same. Aren't you glad there's that stability, that security, that enduring nature of God's Word? Then the next question is almost vague. What is the purpose of God's Word? The Bible. Well, it's not about science. But when it speaks to the issues of science, it's accurate. I don't doubt about that. And more scientists are realizing, yes, the accuracy of the statements dealing with science. I've done about the book about health and hygiene. Though when it speaks to those issues, it's true and accurate. It's not just about history, but again, it's accurate in those areas of study. You know, it's not a book about religion. What is the Bible about? The Bible is about relationships. First and foremost. Not just history. Oh, it has that in it. Not just law and commands. Oh, it has all of that in it. But it's about relationships. It's about our relationship with God. It's about a relationship with one another. It's about our relationship with others who are yet to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. This book that you have in your hand is about your relationships. It's about my relationships. If we truly believe that this is the Word of God, divinely revealed by God, through His agents that He chose to inscribe what He wanted them to write down, then we become like the Thessalonians that Paul Paul gave credit to him. He praised him. He said, you receive this not as a word from man, but as indeed it is, the very Word of God that is actively at work in you. You see, when we really believe that this is the Word of God, and that's God speaking to us, and it's God speaking to us about relationship, our relationship with Him, and our relationship with one another and others. Man, this book, this Word of God, has such life-transforming power by the work of the Holy Spirit that people are amazed. They're amazed when a marriage is made whole again. Yeah. They're amazed when a family is now no longer dysfunctional and spread out here and there, everybody seeking their own desires, their own wants. They're amazed when they see that family is cohesively bound around the centrality of Jesus Christ in their life. They're amazed too when they see a church family living the gospel out in the power of the Holy Spirit for the glory of Jesus Christ. They're amazed. Why? Because this book we call the Bible is indeed the Word of God and is speaking about relationships. So come with me, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 4 as we take a look at what God has to say about relationships. Please take out your outline. Father God, we ask you now that your Word will speak to us. That your Holy Spirit will work in our hearts. And Lord, again, we pray that if there be any here in this auditorium, in the sanctuary, that does not know you, Lord Jesus, as their personal Savior, may they realize that you want to bring them into a personal relationship with you through by grace, through faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray too for all of us who know you, Lord Jesus, as Lord and Savior, that you continue to speak to our hearts about a relationship with you and a relationship with one another, as well as our relationship with those who are yet believing your Son, Jesus Christ. So Father, guide us, we pray. Open our hearts. that you have your work in us for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Take a look at your outline before you. The very heading there for 7 commitments of a Christ-living and gospel-driven church. Take a look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. That's kind of the headline or passage of God's word, because it reminds us that it's not in our strength and our power, but indeed our hearts and our minds must be yielded and submitted to that work of the Holy Spirit, to God's power within us, to accomplish what God has commanded us to do about our relationships with Him and with each other. So take a look at Ephesians 3:20. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work in us. His power, okay? To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. And all God's people said?
Amen.
Amen. I can imagine when people were reading this letter from Paul, God's revealed word and truth to that church, which also becomes God's revealed truth to this church, our church, Christ Church, South Mountain Bible Church. That would be, we say amen. Lord, do it again. Don't stop. Yeah. Number five, committed to healthy relationships based on the grace of forgiveness. I want you to read with me now. So I want you to take out your outline. If you haven't done it, do it right now. Take out your outline and open your Bibles. If you have your own Bible. If you don't, take a pew Bible up. I want you to read together with me Ephesians chapter 4, verses 30 through 32. Let's read that together out loud. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Three things in these few passages. First of all, grieve not the Holy Spirit. He said that very clearly in verse 30. Take a look again in your outline. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. So he's talking to those who profess the name of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He's not just saying this to everyone in the whole world. Indeed, the gospel has a universal application, but the work of the gospel in the lives of those who have received Jesus Christ through the truth of the gospel, that gospel continues to work in the life of the church and the life of every born-again believer. And so these words become God's word to us, because the Holy Spirit dwells within us. God has promised that. He's a guarantee. He's the down payment of all that God has yet for us. But right now, He wants us to enjoy and to live and to demonstrate what God is doing in us right now. Amen? Yes. So, do not grieve. In fact, the word there, for grieve, it's caused to grieve, caused someone to be sad or sorrow. In fact, we have the same thought expressed by God in His Word in Genesis chapter 6, where God looked and He saw the evilness and wickedness of humanity, and it grieved Him to His very heart, it says. Yes, God is grieved for the sins of humanity, but God, our Father, is grieved for the sins of His children. And He talks about certain sins. So the Holy Spirit is grieved, brought to sorrow, and the Holy Spirit will act with regard to that sin in our lives. It grieves Him, okay? So do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Take a look at your outline. A couple of things that we need to be reminded of and taught by God's Word and by God's Spirit of truth. First of all, the Holy Spirit is a person. You know, you don't grieve a horse. You don't grieve electricity. You can get shocked by it. But you don't grieve a horse. And yet there are some people who say, well, the Holy Spirit is not a person. Like Jehovah's Witnesses say, no, the Holy Spirit is just a force. Now let the force be with you, Luke. That's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person. And not some force or an absentee. If you're born again, He's not an absentee. He's always in you and He'll always dwell within you. And He says in God's Word, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And He's not just a good feeling. Because sometimes the Holy Spirit, and I'm sure this has happened in your life if you're born again, sometimes the Holy Spirit brings a sorrowfulness to our hearts, a godly sorrow. that brings us to repentance to God. Amen? A godly sorrow when we see a rampant sin and wickedness and evil in this world. So it's not, you know, the Holy Spirit is just good feeling, oh, joy, joy, joy all the time. No, he brings all that God wants to bring into your life and my life and into his church here at Southbound Bible Church. So the Holy Spirit is a person, not some force, an absentee, or a good feeling. The Holy Spirit is personally and permanently present with us. Aren't you glad? Oops, I lost him. No, you didn't. And he didn't lose you either. Great. The Holy Spirit is personally and permanently present within us. The Holy Spirit has sealed and secured us in Christ Jesus. That's part of the work and ministry. Who has sealed us to the day of what? Our complete, perfect redemption. Now we have been redeemed. We are being redeemed. And we shall be redeemed. Just like we have been saved, we are being saved. And we shall be saved. What does all that mean? Is that devil talk? No. That's how God is at work in the life of his people. The salvation is an event, but also it's an experience. It's a process. And that's what Paul is talking about. The process of salvation, the process of redemption, that impacts our relationship with God and with one another. The gospel still works because the Holy Spirit is still working in the life of the believer and in the life of the church, the local church. So the Holy Spirit has sealed us and secured us in Christ Jesus. In those days, people would use seals for a number of reasons. They would oftentimes use a seal as an identification. Now, we are sealed in Christ Jesus. We are his. We're Christians, okay? Because of Christ. Those seals were also used in those days to mark our ownership. Ownership. We belong to him. The seals were also used in those days to convey security. If you didn't have the authority, you weren't allowed to break that seal. You are sealed by the Holy Spirit for the day of redemption. And no one in all of God's creation will break that seal. No one. The Holy Spirit is personally active in our lives, continuing the gospel's work, guiding us, comforting us, teaching us. Oh, how we love those works of the Holy Spirit. Amen. But also convicting us. The Holy Spirit convicts of sin, of righteousness, the coming judgment. And he does that in the life of the believer. We are convicted. If we're born again, we're convicted of sin, both by the Word of God and by the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. So the Holy Spirit is active, personally active in our lives, to convict us of sin. To bring us to, again, to the amazing grace of God and His Son, Jesus Christ, that we can be forgiven. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what the Holy Spirit wants us to know and to live. Not just to know, but also to live. Or do you not know, Paul says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you are bought with a price. The precious blood of the Savior, the precious blood of the very Son of God, the precious blood of Jesus Christ, they are on Calvary's cross. He died for our sins. We are bought with that precious blood. So glorify God in your bodies. Let me ask you something. In this passage now, we're looking at our relationships. And our commitment should be as a church, as a Christ-living, gospel-driven church, we should be committed, each and every one of us, individually and together, committed to a healthy relationship based on the grace of forgiveness. And it begins with the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. How is your relationship with the Holy Spirit? How is that? You need to ask yourself that question. How is my relationship with the Holy Spirit? Am I open to His work? Do I delight and invite Him to have that deeper work of grace in my life? So that He can root out those things that are displeasing to my Heavenly Father, that is holding me back from ongoing being conformed to the likeness of Jesus Christ? When He convicts me of sin, do I listen? And do I act upon that conviction? How is your relationship with the Holy Spirit? It is a about a relationship. Next thing we see, if you will, this passage, verse 31, getting rid of the things that ruin relationships. Take a look, if you will, at verse 31. Are you there? Okay, verse 31. Let all bitterness, there are six things there that destroy relationships and marriages and families and churches. Take a look. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. There's a progression there. Starts within the heart. In fact, all of these are issues of the heart. They really are. They're not just issues of the mouth, but of the heart. And that's why the Holy Spirit has to work in our lives. He works in our hearts. But notice, if you will, that progression coming all, and he says, along with all malice. All of these things will lead to a malicious spirit, to a malicious person. You know what malice is? What a malicious person, they want to hurt that person that hurt them. They want payback. That's what being malice is. But it starts with bitterness, it starts with anger, it starts with clamor, slander, public speaking to other people about that person. You see, there's a progression. But there's also another progression that you and I know that is also true. That as we allow in our relationship with God and our relationship with each other, and we're really committed to a healthy relationship by the grace of forgiveness, these things are thrown out. And through God's divine process of sanctification, he puts in those virtues and characteristics of Jesus Christ. We'll get to those shortly. But first of all, we've got to get rid of the garbage. We've got to get rid of the garbage. That's a garbage list right there. You know what it means to throw out the garbage. You don't just put it in another room. Do you? Well, if you do, shame on you. When you get rid of the garbage, you take it out and you put it in the place where garbage belongs. And that's what Paul is saying here. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that's what God is saying here through this. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit who dwells within you. You are sealed by to the day of redemption, but also put these things aside. Put these things off. Put out the garbage. Let's take a look, if you will, at this garbage heap. Bitterness, wrath, anger. I've been there. I've had that garbage in my life. And I'm not saying that it won't come up and again. Whoa, where'd that come from? You know what I'm talking about. In relationships. It starts with putting out the garbage. How do you do that? How do we learn to take out the garbage? Take a look at your outline. Confess sin for what it is. Confession, really, in the New Testament word for confession, it means to agree with God. Okay, to agree with. Homologema. Which means I'm agreeing with God that this is sin. Well, Lord, it's only a little anger. It's only a little wrath. No, it isn't. It's sin, Bill. Lord, it's not slander. I'm just sharing your prayer. No, it's slander. So it begins with confession of sin. Agreeing with God that this is sin, that this is garbage, that we've got to get out of our lives, out of Christ's church. Confession of sin. Turning from sin to the Lord for forgiveness and cleansing. That's what repentance is. Turning from the garbage, turning to the Lord. Amen? Hey, what did you do today? You guys use the garbage? We had what we had in the service in the Navy. Out of submarine, you really couldn't be a rat packer. Too, because you didn't have a whole lot of space, okay? But we had the guys who were rat packers. You know what they are. And they just keep taking quarters, of course, today. We call it dysfunction, you know? Yeah. Sometimes, in your life and my life, we become quarters. The things that God says, it's just garbage. It's just garbage.
The psalm is just the same.
Get rid of it. Well, how, Lord? Well, right here. Confess of the sin. Turn from the sin to the Lord for forgiveness and cleansing. Number three, ask the Lord for grace to forgive and to help to reconcile. You want to know how to get rid of the garbage? Not change it from room to room, but really to get it out of your life? This is how you do it. Act in obedience. obedience and love for the Lord and others for God's glory. That's how we learn how to throw out the garbage. And you know, the more we practice that, it becomes easier and easier, right? You know, when we first begin, I don't know whether I really want to let that go. No, Bill, it's garbage. Let it go. Confess it. Maybe you've got something in your life that you're holding on to. A bitterness, a resentment, a memory, whatever it might be. I don't care. But God is saying, that's garbage. You got to get it out. Those are the ways you get it out. And then we're going to move on from there. Take a look. So let me ask you this question. You have your outline there. How is your heart in this important matter? How is it? Getting out the garbage? It's a daily thing. It's a daily thing for every one of us to get out the garbage. And God gives us grace to do just that. The third thing that we learn from this passage from 30, 31, 32, especially verse 32, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. The word be there could be literally translated, become kind toward one another, become tender-hearted, become a person that is forgiving others. Why? Because Christ died for that garbage in your life, in the life of others too. And His cleansing blood is the way He promotes it. And from His fullness we have received grace upon grace, for the law was given through Moses. Yes, it was. But look what it was given through Jesus Christ. Take a look at that verse. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Yes. The old reformers during the Reformation, as they came back to the grace of God, it wasn't saved by works as the Roman Catholic Church was teaching, and still teaches. Go this way, go through all the stations, go through that state. No, the reformers said, no, that's not what God declares in His Word. That's when the church got back into the Word of God, and the Word of God back into the lives of the believers. And they said, you know, grace is a wonderful thing. They're saving grace. We're saved by grace through faith in Christ alone. And they said there's sanctifying grace too. Now it's all of grace. But there's different manifestations of grace in the life of a person. That first manifestation of grace when you come to Jesus Christ is saving grace. The next and continuing manifestation of grace is that sanctifying grace, that transforming grace in your life. From glory to glory. Grace transforms and trains us to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age. All those verses talk about the work of God's grace in your life. Titus, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. God's grace works in the life. And let's put something there. If you will, you have your outline. Take a pencil. God's grace works in the life of every believer. That's you. That's me. God's grace works in the life of every believer. God's grace makes us humble. God's grace gives us both the desire and the light to change. God's grace disciplines and trains us in godliness. God's grace gives us the power to change. Aren't you glad you have God's grace? Amen? Yeah! Not by law. It's by the grace of God in your life and my life and in the life of the church. So this commitment that you and I are to have to be a Christ-living, gospel-driven church, that we are committed to healthy relationships by the grace of forgiveness. Amen? Yeah. Take a look. Grace in our attitude. Be kind to one another. Tender-hearted. Character change, both within and expressed outwardly. It takes an open heart and obedient heart to the work of the Holy Spirit within us. Lord, keep working in my life. Lord, you said that which you've begun in my life, you will bring to completion, to perfection in Jesus Christ for His glory and for your glory. Yes, He will. But you and I live between the already and the yet to come, don't we? Yeah. How are you doing with that journey? That's what this is all about. It's that journey that we have with Jesus Christ. And that journey that is reflected in our relationship with God and with each other. Grace in our attitude, be kind to one another and tender-hearted. It's a manifestation of the fruit of the Holy Spirt. Galatians chapter 5, you need to turn there. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit. If you're born again, the Holy Spirit is within you, and He's going to manifest that fruit. The grace in our attitude. It's an evidence of the new life. God wants our lives to be a poster board, really, for others to see what grace through Christ can do, through Christ alone. It's an evidence of the new life in Jesus Christ. Not only is your Heavenly Father so much so wants to give you assurance of your salvation in Jesus Christ alone, He also wants our lives to give evidence of that truth and fact. Every day. Grace in action. Because grace doesn't just stop there with our attitudes. Grace in action. Forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Someone once said, take a look at this quote. Unforgiveness is a poison we drink, hoping others will die. Hey, have you been drinking any of that poison lately? Did they die? Sure they did. But something died within you. Something died within us. If we have an unforgiving spirit, if we're unforgiving, we take that poison thinking it's going to affect somebody else. Take a look. Christians are the most forgiving people in the world. Do you believe that? Raise your hand. Christians are the most forgiving people in the world. Why? Because it's God forgiving us for Christ's sake and for what He has done. So every one of us can raise both hands. Yes! I'm the most forgiving person in the world. Praise God. Thank His glory. Because that is true, then you and I as Christians should be the most forgiving people in the world. Amen? That's what He's talking about. That's why this commitment to healthy relationships based on the grace of forgiveness is so important. Our lack of conviction and desire to forgive others may, now I underline that may, because it may indicate that we have not been forgiven ourselves by God. Okay? Let's put it a little more clearly, okay? Putting it more clearly, we may not be truly saved in Christ, but only in our minds. It may. Boy, that's a perilous position to be in. It really, really is. For a person to think they're saved, think of this. That's a double thinking process, okay? Think of this. Think of a person who just thinks they're saved, and they really aren't. There are a lot of people that go to church, have religion, a gift to the church, even some go out to the mission field, even some become pastors and think they're saved, but they aren't saved. Really? Yes. How do you know you are? Well, the Holy Spirit within you bears witness with your spirit that you're a child of God, that you're truly born again. And along with that witness of the Holy Spirit within you, you have the work of the Holy Spirit bringing about that gracious transformation in your life, in your relationships, in your marriage, in your family, and people say, wow, you're different! Yeah! Who did that? Is that a makeover on TV? No, it's not! It's Jesus Christ! Amen? Yeah. You're different. And you know that the garbage is getting thrown out.
Actually,
is it?
You fix it.
The garbage is getting thrown out. To make a room for the good stuff to crush up
in here.
Grace in our actions. Forgiveness is the first step in the process of reconciliation. It's only a step. It's only a step. Forgiveness is a true sense. When God forgave you, you are reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. And that relationship began in a whole new world, in a whole new family, with a whole new destiny. Because of a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. So forgiveness is only the first step in the process of reconciliation. It takes a decision to obey, listen to this, and follow with me in your outline. This process that starts with forgiving the other person or seeking to be forgiven yourself. Because it's both ways. It cuts both ways. It takes a decision to obey God, prayer for grace and opportunity to move on in this relationship on the basis of grace, and sincere action and love to forgive others as a Christian. You see, as a Christian, and only because you are in Christ Jesus, you and I can forgive others. Just as God has forgiven us.
That's why
God never commands us or asks us to do anything
there you might remember.
That He won't also enable us to do that. He has, He is, and He always will. Sometimes things happen in marriage. I'm talking about a Christian marriage. I'm talking about a Christian home. Sometimes things happen. And the forgiveness is not there. The things are torn apart and rent. It's not dysfunction. It's a dissolution. It's a destruction of that marriage, of that family. And sometimes that happens in churches. I've seen it, you've seen it. When the church is ripped apart. Not for doctrinal issues, but because of a spirit of unforgiveness. It's happened in this church. People have left because they weren't obedient to God to seek out forgiveness and to give forgiveness. So they said, well, I'm going to go to another church. That happens. It happens every year, every day in Christian lives. Is that right? No. That's sin. Because you know something? If you can't settle through the grace of forgiveness here, you're going to run into a new end of where you go. Because you know what happens? You take that bag of garbage along with you. That smelly, dirty, rank bag of garbage with you. And so the same thing is going to what? Happen again. Happen again. Therefore, if anyone in Christ Jesus is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. All this is from God. Not from your pastor, not from your elders, not from a Bible school lesson, but from God, who gives us those lessons of life, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. This issue, the lack of forgiveness, the spirit of unforgiveness, destroys, disrupts, divides. Many leave the church and don't go anywhere else. But in the heart of hearts, the garbage is still there. And the Father, through the Holy Spirit, is saying, Child, why do you want to live with that stench and that garbage when it can all be cleaned out? And that relationship that was broken as an excuse, as a reason for you to leave,
you read the talk.
Can be renewed and rebuilt. Remember, whatever the sin, whatever the offense, whatever the hurt, Jesus Christ paid for it all on the cross. He did. He did. Beloved, you need to believe that. If Jesus Christ paid the debt, then I can, by the grace of God, forgive that person who's indebted to me, who I think is indebted to me. Because Christ paid that debt so I can forgive. Christ paid that debt so I can be forgiven. Jesus Christ paid for it all on the cross. He paid that sin debt so that forgiveness could be freely given and healing could take place. Man, that's grace. That is grace. Four promises. Four promises. I want you to see these things, please. Four promises of true forgiveness. I'm talking about biblical forgiveness. I'm talking about the forgiveness that God has given to us in Christ Jesus and expects and commands and instructs us to forgive one another even as God has forgiven us in Christ Jesus. Four promises of true forgiveness. I promise I won't dwell on this incident. Man, that's a hard one. That's a hard one. You know what I mean? If you forgive that person and you dwell on it, what do you do? Lord, forgive me. I don't want to dwell on this. Lord, renew my mind. Open God's Word or memorize God's Word. Trust the Holy Spirit will work in your life because He wants to renew your mind after the remind of Jesus Christ. So He will give you, by His grace, to work in your mind and work in your thought life as well. Think on these things, Paul says here in Philippians chapter 4. Okay? Promise I won't dwell on this incident. So when you do start dwelling on it, catch it before it goes any further. Because you know, it keeps going down and down and down. I've been there. I know what I'm talking about. And you know what I'm talking about too. I promise I won't bring this incident up and use it against you. Well, you know, you did that same thing 10 years ago. Well, by the way, you also did that 3 times last week. That's how we love to deal in our relationships. But that is probably the most destructive way that we can. By keep bringing it up. If it's truly forgiven, it's under the blood. I promise I won't bring this incident up and use it against you. Number 3, I promise I won't talk to others about this incident. That's slander. That's gossip. That's being malicious, okay? I promise I won't talk to others about this incident. Number 4, I promise I won't allow this incident to stand between us and hinder our personal what? Say it together with me. Our personal what? Relationship. Amen? Yeah. We don't just go along to get along. Sad to say, most Christians are just going along to get along. That's not what God is talking about here. He's talking about commitment to a healthy relationship. Based on the grace of forgiveness. Reconciliation, renewal, and rebuilding the relationship follows forgiveness on the ground of grace. It starts at the cross of Christ and continues there in the life of the born-again believer. Grace, in this manifestation, in your relationships, my relationships, my marriage, your marriage, your family, my family, our church family, this manifestation of grace, that we can forgive one another, even as God has forgiven us in Christ Jesus, is what God requires all of us to do. And it's saying to the world, and it's saying to each other, Jesus Christ has not died in vain. Did you get that? That's what Paul says in Galatians. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I live now in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And then in the next verse he says, Jesus Christ has not died in vain. This is not an advertisement. Okay? We are so committed to healthy relationships based on the grace of forgiveness and the continued process of reconciliation. At the Board of Elders a number of years ago, whenever we had people who say, I want to be a member of the church, praise God, we thank the Lord for that moving of the Holy Spirit upon their hearts. But everyone who wants to be a member of the South Mount Bible Church, they go through a new members class, but they all receive, couples receive one copy, but the individuals receive a copy of Resolving Everyday Conflict. It's a great book. It really is. It's a biblical book. Get you into the Word of God and get the Word of God into your relationships. If you don't have this book, we have a couple of copies on the table. And if they're run out, you let me know, and I will get you a copy of this book if you haven't gotten one. And you read it, please. To help you read that, I'm going to give you also a bookmarker. A bookmarker. This has helped me because here in Adirondack Bible Church, we realize that, you know, every Christian needs to have a theology of life. Every church needs to have a theology of life. For a reason, why are we here? Well, to preach the gospel. Yeah, but what else? Here, if you will. Six truths about living the gospel for the individual. Seeking to glorify Jesus Christ in all things. Number two, having others' orientation for their joy in Jesus Christ. Number three, realizing God's sovereignty over all. Number four, walking in the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit daily. Number five, maintaining an eternal perspective for God's glory. Number six, living in the light of the gospel of the grace of God. I read this personally, regularly. And I said, Lord, make these biblical truths a part of my life and a part of my ministry. We did that up in the Adirondack Church. I've been doing it here. I want to share this with you. I believe those are principles, truths of gospel living for the individual. And what we're going through right now, this series, seven commitments of a gospel living church. Now we expanded that and we made it a little broader. Seven commitments of a Christ-living, gospel-driven church. It's on the other side. All seven. We have those out there on both tables. What I would like you to do is to take one. You don't have one. Some of you have one. But I would like you to read through that and say, Lord, make this a part of my life. Lord Jesus, you're the head of this church, Southbound Baptist Church. Lord Jesus, make this not only a part of my life, but make it a part of the life of my church family. Would you do that? Would you do that? And if you don't have a book, please, pick one up there. If we run out of them, please, let me know, and I will be sure to get you a copy. We also have, because we are committed, I am committed as your pastor, to promoting, to instructing, to challenging, to working with, to counseling, healthy relationships through the grace of forgiveness and reconciliation that we have. And many of you have taken these booklets. We have a number of biblical counseling booklets. Now this is not going to answer all the questions you have about whatever issue you're dealing with, but it's a start. It's taking the first step. Because most Christians, they know they have issues in their heart. They know they have issues in their marriage. They know they have issues in their family, and they just let them go. They just go along to get along. You know what I mean? But taking maybe a book that's talking about your issue of your heart. And don't forget, it is a heart issue. H-E-A-R-T. Don't let it get a hard issue. H-A-R-D in your heart. Pick one. Whatever's speaking to your heart about whatever your issue is going here. If you're redeeming your painful past. All of us have issues in the past. How have you dealt with them? This is just the beginning. Just the first step. Here's another one. Freedom from guilt. Some of us are carrying guilt from many, many years. Many broken relationships. Maybe adultery. Maybe divorce. Maybe addiction. Maybe whatever it might be. Maybe an abortion. Whatever it may be. How do you deal with that guilt? Some Christians just keep carrying that garbage all along. And they never get rid of it. How do you deal with that guilt? Yeah, truly, it's only the first step. But please take the first step with God's Word. Maybe it's an issue of anger. What do you do when anger gets the upper hand? We have many others. I just wanted to highlight these, but there's many others. Please take them as not only as a first step in your life and the issues that you may be going with in your relationship, in your marriage, in your personal life, in your family, but maybe it's an issue that one of your loved ones is going through. And you can take that, read it, and be used of God to help them then take the first step. You see, it's all about walking with Jesus. And if you're not walking with Him, you can take the first step. Amen. And you can take that first step today. Join with me in prayer. Father God, we thank you that you love us so much, that you want our relationship with you to be unhindered, unencumbered with sin, with destructive habits in thought, in word, in deeds. And you love us so much that you want to see our relationship with each other grow in grace and in knowledge of you. Lord, help us to make that commitment to healthy relationships based on the grace of forgiveness. That reconciliation, true reconciliation, can begin. Lord, we ask this in your name and for your glory. Amen.